the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Yeah, welcome to the program. We are back. More of the Bucket Strategy Investing Show. Standing by to talk money strategies with you, money issues. Now, Professor Rick Plum, who you just heard on the intro, out today and tomorrow. He's out of town. I guess he's out giving...
He's in my territory. He's out in the Northwest, the
Pacific
Great Northwest.
That's right, yeah. Giving talks and talking to people and spreading the word about buckets. So sitting in the advisor saddle, Terry Keyes, CHFC. Now, Rick is going to be back on Friday, but so we got Terry, we got you today and tomorrow.
Yep.
Terry Keyes here. Again, I'm going to give you fair warning. You got this guy for the next couple of days. Now, we're going to start things off with a discussion on how fixed annuities really work, okay? Now, you've heard how they're marketed. You probably didn't even know they were being marketed. You've heard how they're sometimes missold, oftentimes missold. But you may not have any idea how they really work. And knowing how they work, that is a key first step in wealth education. So we're going to talk about that with Terry Keyes. That's coming up here in just a couple of moments. So if you have anything on your mind, anything related to annuities, strategy, retirement, saving, whatever it is, you call us right now, 877-PLANNER. Ask us your questions. That's 877-752-6637. You can also email us right here in the studio, wealthed.com. Find the link that says Find Your Answer. Click on it, upper part of the page, and we will take it from there, as in we will answer your money questions. I mentioned here a moment ago, Terry Keyes sitting in today for Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. Terry and Rick and everybody else, they're part of our nationwide team that we call the Brain Trust. Terry's here to answer your questions along with me. Keep in mind, too, that if you want to talk to any bucket strategy advisor about your portfolio, you can call Lucia Capital Group, any one of the advisors, at their off-air number, which is 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. Take advantage of the advice and the experience of the Brain Trust, and it is vast, in my opinion. Your bucket's plan should be tailored to meet your unique goals. The number, once again, at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. And we thank them for bringing you to the program and sponsoring this hour of the show. On the air, 877-PLANNER, if you have a question on any of this stuff, and I think some people will, Terry, because annuities have become more popular, some in certain areas of the country.
Like Phoenix and some other areas.
Yeah.
But in I was just about to say, in almost all major metropolitan areas of the United States, if you're 50 or older, you are getting invites. You're getting invitations to a free dinner. And
somewhere,
the subject
yeah.
mm-hmm. is usually fixed or fixed indexed annuities. And we'll let you know why.
Yeah, a lot of times they don't even tell you what it is, though. They're not going to tell you. They're going to send something out that says, how would you like to have all of the gains of the stock market and
without any downside risk?
That'll
be the ad, and it'll say, come to learn more about it at the free dinner at the such and such restaurant.
Yes, exactly. Or wherever it happens to be. And it's enticing. It's intriguing. And even this was especially big after the big stock market downturn.
Well, I tell people all over the country, when Rick and I are around, and we'll talk about that in a minute, when we're around the country doing our workshops, I tell people, take the free dinner. If they're offering a free dinner, I mean, this is good financial advice. Take a free dinner, right?
Yeah.
But don't buy the annuity unless you learn what we're going to teach you here today.
That's why we're talking about what we're talking about today. So, yeah, take it. Why not? I mean, I've done that before.
Well, I think after a couple of years, if we talk enough people into taking the free dinner, they'll stop offering it at some point.
They figure the marketing pitch isn't enough. You know, you got to say big steak dinner at some fancy steakhouse.
Yeah.
All right. So now what we're going to get into, obviously, is something called, they're called equity index annuities or fixed index annuities. Let's just talk about these in general. First of all, let's explain what they are.
All right. Let's start by explaining with what you just said. They used to be called equity index annuities. Mm-hmm. Now, since they're annuities, they are regulated by the insurance commissioners in the 50 states, okay, because they're an insurance product. Mm-hmm. So all insurance products are regulated by the insurance commissioners. Well, the National Association several years ago, the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, or as I call it, John, the NAIC. Okay.
Wow, how do you come up with these? Wow.
So the National Association of Insurance Commissioners basically put a mandate out to all of us in the financial industry that are licensed to sell these things that they're no longer to be marketed or referred to as equity index annuities, because the word equity was inferring that you're buying equities.
As
and
in
equities
stocks.
A stock.
Yeah.
Exactly. But you're not. There is no stock involved in the actual investment, okay? In the rate of return, there may be an index involved, but not equities themselves.
Right.
So the new name is, and I've been training you for several years to call them, fixed index annuities, FIAs. They're fixed indexed annuities because they are a fixed annuity that are the rate of return is tied to an index.
Yes, and again, it's only what they only do is look at the performance of a particular index, but the product itself has no connection whatsoever to it. And once they look at that index, that then may determine what rate of return you're going
to
get.
Yes, it's just I tell people the index is just basically a barometer to be used on an annual basis retroactively to determine what your rate of return will be for that last year. So you don't know your rate of return in a fixed index annuity until after the end of each period. It's usually a 1 year period, or it's a number of months that were added up over year. You can have a 2 year. You could have a 2 year index where they track the index for 2 years. So
what we need to do is, I suppose, start with how they work. We have a couple of calls we're going to take in just a second, but just the overview.
Let me give a quick overview, and then we'll take a call because I know we have someone on hold. So an indexed annuity, a fixed index annuity, is tied to an index. Now, the most widely used index is the S&P 500. And the reason that is, John, is because what the insurance companies are doing to get you your rate of return is they're buying instruments behind the scenes that are tied to that index. They're buying options, basically, that are complicated options, actually, but that are tied to that particular index. And the most widely used index for options is the S&P 500, so it's the most easily accessible and affordable option to use. The reason they don't use the some strange gold index is because they're not popular gold indexes. I mean, there are gold indexes, but they're not as popular as the S&P 500. Now, I assume there's probably a product out there that would use the gold index maybe even, but I mean, I stay with the simple ones because in the end, you're not investing in the S&P 500. You're using the performance of the S&P 500 each and every year or every reporting period to determine after the fact what your rate of return would be up to a certain cap, up to a certain maximum amount. We'll get into that when we go. You and I are going to go through a glossary of definitions of
yes, and there are things you need to know. Cap rates, participation rates, spreads, and all this stuff. And really, it's not as complicated as it might sound.
No, not at all.
In fact, the basic idea of an annuity is you take a chunk of money, you hand it to an insurance company, and they either start handing it back to you right away in the form of
payments,
or they'll hold on to it
in the form of a CD, almost like a CD.
Right. And then you can get your money back after whatever period of time.
Sure.
Or you can wait even longer and start getting payments back
later on.
And depending on how you want to buy it, you might be able to have income for life. Now,
a tax deferred savings vehicle at an insurance company.
Exactly. So there's a lot of good with these things, but there's a lot of bad with them, too. And it's not with the product, I would guess. The product part of it is fine.
The product it's in general. There are some bad products out there, though.
Well, there
and why
are.
Why these insurance commissioners approve them is beyond me.
Are they bad products, or are they just products that are given to the wrong people?
No, any annuity with a 10, 12, or 14-year surrender charge is a bad product,
okay, that's
opinion.
What we're going to talk about. All right, 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. Let's take a call or two before the break. Boy, the time's already flying by. Roland is up in Gilbert, Arizona. Hi, Roland. How can we help you today?
Thanks for taking my call. Love your show.
Thank you.
I work with a coworker. It's 66, drawing full social security, still working, intends to work till 69, 70.
No problem.
How much does that cut into the increase in your social security? You know, it's supposed to increase by like 8% per year past.
Okay. The
full social.
All right, Roland. The 8% increase is if you haven't turned it on. You said this person is actually taking their Social Security?
Yes.
Okay, there is no more on 8% increase. That's while you're deferring and waiting. They entice you to wait till age 70 with these 8% increases. If this person's working and is 66 and taking a benefit, then the only increase would be a consumer price index type that you could get some years and other years.
Well, also, Roland, it depends on how much money they're making.
I was going to go there next. That's a whole other subject.
Well, yeah. Do you know how much they're making?
Yeah, they're in the 80,000.
Right, but not just what they're making today, John. It's your highest 35 years. So if this person for 35 years already made $150,000 a year for 35 years, and now they're making 80, the 80's not helping at all. The 80's doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah, so
if the person made $30,000 a year for 35 years, and now, Roland, they're making $80,000 a year, that is helping their Social Security, and they could get an increase.
Yeah, Roland, it really depends on how many years they have working. You don't have 35 years paying into the system?
Yeah, this person's worked all their life.
Yeah. Well,
the short answer.
Only been in the high 80s for the last 7-8 years.
Okay, so what it might do, it may replace some of the lower earning years
from a long time ago.
But a long time ago, it's also been inflation indexed. So So Roland, if they're going to work for a couple of years, it may make a difference. How much of a difference, I don't know.
Right, but they're not getting the 8% increase that you get when you wait.
No, it won't. It based on what you're telling us, it won't be an 8% increase. In their payment. It may make a difference of $100 month or so.
I hope that answers your question, Roland.
Well, one more quick question. They will pay taxes on that, won't they?
Yeah, absolutely. It's income. Social Security's income. Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks.
All right, Roland.
And I don't want to get into how the taxes it's taxed, but we do that a lot, John, in the show. But it depends on all their other income, how much of it's taxed.
Correct. Now, if all you're getting, and this is not true in this person's case, if all they're getting is Social Security, no, it will not be taxed. Right. But he mentioned that the
they have a job, they have income, so that's why I said it would.
Correct.
Be.
Yeah. There should be it should be taxed in some form. Okay, 877 Planner. Got to take a quick break. We got a lot of things to talk about. Anything that's on your mind, you give us a call. We'll answer your money questions right here on the program. Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes, in for Professor Rick Plum on Bucket Strategy Investing. Planner, PLANNER, Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes. We're talking about anything you want to talk about. We do have this discussion on annuities. There's a lot of good information here, and we're going to take some calls on this. Now, very quickly, Terry, I want to remind people, because we're now into the new year, and starting in mid-February.
February 20th.
You and Professor Plum are going to be out again around the country doing what you do.
Yeah, so we go to 8 or 10 cities each spring and each fall. So we end up doing about 16 to 20 of these workshops annually all over the country. And we're mixing up the order. We don't always go in the same order. So this year, for the first time, we're starting out with Las Vegas. February 20th, the very first workshop. We got a great radio station in Las Vegas.
Sure.
We got great support. We got great listeners, great audience. So we will be there in Las Vegas on February 20th. And then on the 27th, the following Saturday, we will be up in my area, Seattle, Washington. So the first two cities are in February, and that's the 20th and the 27th. You can register at 800-644-1150. You can go right on there, call today and register if you want.
Yes.
Or you can register at wealthed.com starting tomorrow.
Yeah, it's free too, by the way. Just tell them you're going to be there.
But this information is so brand new that you can't even register online until tomorrow. We don't have it set up yet. So it'll be ready tomorrow.
Retirement Income Strategies Workshops. All right, we'll tell you more information, but just giving you the heads up. Okay, 877-PLANNER. We'll take a couple of calls again. 877-PLANNER. Mike, somewhere in California with a question. Hello, Mike.
Hey, good morning.
How can we help you today?
I got a question that I've got in lifetime annuity, and it did have a long surrender period, a 10-year surrender period. That sounds like it probably wasn't the greatest product.
Right.
But I'm just wondering that it's been the 10 years now. Should I continue to leave it? It looks like it's doing well on paper.
Okay. Is it a variable annuity with a lifetime rider, or is it a fixed indexed annuity with a lifetime income rider?
It is a fixed
index.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the answer on whether you should keep it or look at a different one all depends on if there's anything better available. Now that Mike is out of the surrender period, he has the ability to look around and see if there's a better option, John.
Yes.
There may or may not be, Mike. I'd have to ask you a whole bunch of questions. But what's your cap rate every year? Do you know what your cap rate is going to be this year?
I do not.
Okay. Well, they
haven't. Yeah.
All right. So that's one thing you want to look at. And John, this is a great way to answer one of the things I was going to discuss anyways. When you get an annuity, Mike, the first year it had a cap rate. Let's say it was 6%. That's the most you can earn that year on a fixed index annuity, right? But if your cap rate today on that product is 3, if that's what they just every year on your anniversary, they send you a statement and tell you what your cap rate is going to be for the next year. And if that's 3,
I think it has been around the 3. Yeah.
Yeah. See,
okay.
And that's not a very competitive cap rate in today's world. 5 is a competitive cap rate today. So my first indication would be you might want to look around, Mike, because what they do, some of these companies do not have integrity in their renewal rates. They'll give you that 5 or 6 the first year, Mike, because they wanted you to buy the annuity. And now they got you for 10 years. So each and every year after that, they'll give you a lower renewal rate. So the one of my buyer beware's, we might as well give it out right now, John, is whenever you're looking to purchase, what you should have done, Mike, and I'm teaching you now to do this as you go forward, you should have said, do you guys publish your renewal rates before I buy this annuity from you? In other words, I like the 5 this year, but you consistently give 5? Or are you one of these companies that doesn't have integrity? And that's what I say. I say, if you won't publish the rates, then I'm not going to do business with you. Okay?
Very good. So
my first indication is you definitely want to look, and you can have us get a hold of you offline, and I can help you do a full analysis of your annuity. You definitely, if you own an annuity and it's out of surrender, every year or two, you should do an analysis of it just to make sure, because you can exchange one annuity forever without any tax consequence whatsoever.
1035.
So you can do a 1035 exchange. So that might be or might not be in your interest. And most insurance agents are always going to tell you every time you should exchange it, because guess what, Mike? They want to sell you a new one. But every time you buy a new one, you have a new surrender period all over again.
Yeah.
So I don't mind another 5 or 7 year surrender period if I can get you a higher rate of return, Mike, and if you're not going to use it for the next 5 to 7 years anyways. So
not going to use it. It's a long-term, long-term vehicle. Right. So, I'd be very interested in talking to you offline.
Yeah. So give us your information offline. But that was a great question, Mike, because those are the general things that you need to be looking at when you're first considering an annuity.
Exactly.
And he's good. He made it through the surrender period. And he didn't get hurt if he earned an average of 4% a year over the last 10 years, which he probably did in that annuity. He didn't make a bad mistake. You just want to find the best one out there. And at any given month, one particular product may be better than another one.
Okay, so hold on, Mike. I'll have Terry talk to you during the break or after the show. So, all right, so that we mentioned this now. Very few people know what to ask, what to look for. All they've heard is either annuities are the greatest thing in the world or they're the worst thing in the world, and somebody mentions, well, you might want to consider one. So what do you need to ask?
First question is, Mr. or Mrs. Insurance Agent, this annuity that you are proposing to me, this one that you're suggesting I should put my $50,000 or $100,000 in, what is the number of years that there is a surrender charge?
Meaning what?
Is it a 5-year? Do I have to hold this thing for 5 years? Because there's a penalty to get out for 5, 7, 8, 10, 12. I know of a product out there that has a 14-year surrender. Mike's 10. I don't like 10-year surrender charges.
Okay,
but he survived it. But so the first question is, I don't know of any reason why you need to be in an annuity longer than a 7-year surrender period, to be honest with you. Now, you do get a better rate of return on a 7 than a 5, but I haven't really seen a 10-year surrender annuity that offers. Well, he just showed us his renewal cap rate is 3 on a 10-year annuity.
Well,
I know 7-year annuities that have a renewal cap rate of 4 or 5 right now. So that demonstrates to you that.
Okay, so you need to say, first thing you need to say is there a surrender?
And what's the number of years?
And what's the number of years?
Yep. First, out of the gate, that's what you need to learn. Yep.
And if you hear anything higher than what, about 7, you should say this isn't for me?
Well, once you hear the cap rate, if it's above 5 or 6 in today's world, now, historically, cap rates have been higher than they are today. We'll get into that discussion later on how they determine what your cap rate is. But if you hear anything higher than 5 or 6,
as a surrender period.
Well, no, now I'm going to the cap rate. So if they tell you my cap rate is 7, when I know real competitive cap rates are 5 or 6, they're teasing you. So the next question is, now that I know my surrender period, I already know it, 5, 7, 10, 15 years, right?
Yeah.
My second question is, do you publish, and this is what I just explained to Mike, do you publish your renewal cap rates? Are they open to the public? Will you show us over the last 10 years, if you offered someone 7 the first year, what did you renew them at?
In other words, what sort of rate of participation are they giving you each year?
Mm-hmm.
Now, as you said, a lot of times they won't publish it, meaning that you're not going to know on your next anniversary date how much of the market you can actually or what you're capped at, right?
I'll give you a great consumer example. I buy propane because I live out in the country, okay? To go open up a new account with a propane company where I live, they'll offer you the propane for $1.75 a gallon. It's a great price. It's $2 a gallon at Costco right now, okay?
Okay.
Do you know what I paid yesterday for propane? Because I'm an existing customer and the tank's already on my property and it's too hard to throw the tank off my property and hire another company.
Higher than that?
$3.18 a gallon.
Because they've got you.
Because they got you. That's my renewal rate. So your renewal interest rate on your annuity works the same way, except it works the opposite. It'll be a lower rate than they initially offered you. Unless it's a real good company. There are some good companies out there that will show you for the last 15 years what their initial rate was each year and what the renewal rate was the following year.
All right, now I've only got a minute. You say a term like cap rate. People say, what do you mean cap? What's cap? What are you talking about?
So since they're not guaranteeing you an interest rate up front, like a fixed annuity of 4% per year, let's say, they're giving you a cap rate, and that's the most they can pay you based on the way that they've designed these annuities. So if your cap rate is 6, and your index, the S&P 500, goes up 11 in your year, the 1 year, March to March, April to April, I don't care when you were in it. If the index was up 11 and your cap rate was 6, then you got 6 that year. If the index was up 4, you got 4. You didn't cap out. You didn't make it to the max.
What if the index was down 4%?
Then you didn't lose anything. You got 0 for the year. 0 is your hero in an index annuity. It's a saying we coined years ago. 0 is your hero.
Oh, man.
You didn't lose money. All your friends were in their 401ks. They lost money when the market was down, right? In the index annuity, you didn't. One benefit.
Now, how can the insurance company do this for you? I mean, are they just benevolent? Is this what they are? No, of course not. They're in this to make money. All right, more on this. You have questions. We have answers. 877-PLANNER. Bucket Strategy Investing. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes, Chartered Financial Consultant, CHFC, sitting in today for Professor Rick Plum, who was actually hacking and coughing his way through the show yesterday anyway. That's not why he's out. He's actually out giving
talks.
He's
working with the hack. He's out working and speaking and educating up in the Great Northwest while he's hacking and coughing.
Exactly.
He's actually on his second or third day of a Z-Pack.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway.
For those of you that have had the flu, you know what the Z-Pack is.
Well, he's actually doing much better than he was even a week ago. But he's out talking. He's giving his talk. So we got Terry Keyes in here today.
Useless information. I promised you before the show.
Uh-oh.
I've never taken the Z-Pack, and I'm not going to, unless I'm dying in bed. Because I'm under the impression that the more you take it, the less it'll ever work the rest of your life.
Oh.
And I don't want to get the flu when I'm 70, John, and then have no Z-Pack that won't work on me anymore.
I don't think I've ever even seen a Z-Pack.
So you haven't taken one either. You're good.
I have no
idea. Adam, Z-Pack? Have you ever had a Z-Pack, Adam?
No?
Nope.
Okay.
All right. Adam says, three of us. We're 3 for 3 in the studio here today. All right. That's my useless information. Move on, John.
There'll be another one next hour, I'm sure. All right. 877-PLANNER. Yeah. So, okay. Now, we're talking about these annuities. Okay. You mentioned a couple of things that you should, if you're considering an annuity, and you should be old enough and all this stuff, all right?
Yeah.
Some of the things that you need to, first of all, you should ask them, is there a surrender period on this particular product?
What is it? Is it 5, 7, 10,
if
15 years? What is
five
it?
5 or 7, you're okay with it?
Yep. I've made it past the first test. There's another couple tests, but yeah, the first test is fine. I can live with a 7-year surrender
10,
charge.
10, not so good. Nah. 12, no. 14, 15, no.
On some occasions, our advisors have used an 8-year surrender because there was a reason to it. It was a good rate of return.
Okay, sure. All right.
So 8 was pretty much pressing it. In my career, it's the longest annuity I've used.
Okay, if there is an 8, then you better have some other good stuff.
Some good rate of return to make up for it.
Yep. Second one is you should ask them about their renewal rates.
Do you publish your renewal rates? So you're not going to tease me with a rate of 6% the first year and then give me 3% every year for the rest of my life after that.
Right. We don't want that. So if they don't, you should probably get up and walk
away. Well, if they don't publish the rates and disclose them to you, what does that tell you?
It tells you that they don't want you to see what
they're not very
doing.
Proud of them,
exactly.
Are they? Right. Okay.
Okay. And now you have a case study.
Yeah. Let me give you my third buyer beware.
Yeah,
so it's all
okay.
The third one is beware of bonuses. Why would an insurance company just out of the kindness of their heart say give you a 5% upfront bonus?
Or 10. We've seen 10.
10. Yeah. So you're telling me I put $100,000 in day one when I get my first statement, it says 110. And that's how it works. It does.
Sure.
You're right. Okay. But it's not real. It's
but
just.
I can't.
So you know what the renewal cap rate on that one is? 2.
Yeah.
Because all they're doing is giving you some of your interest rate up front. And by the way, the surrender period would take that whole $10,000 away. The surrender charge the first year on the annuity would be 12.
Exactly.
So they gave you 110, you get out, you're not going to make any money. You're still going to lose money.
Right.
So
Yeah. It's not like you can take that $110,000 and say, great, I'm done and walk away.
No, and the bonus doesn't even count unless you've stayed in it so many years.
Exactly.
So it's on paper, but if you got out in the second year, they take the $10,000 away before before they even charge you the surrender charge. So all they're doing is teasing you again to buy a product. I don't like bonus annuities. I've never seen one I liked because they're just taking it back in the renewal rates. And at the end of any 7 or 10 year period of time, I've never seen a bonus annuity that outperformed any annuity that didn't have one.
No.
So why complicate matters? Why make things crazy? It's because they're just trying to tease you into buying their product versus one that doesn't have the bonus.
Well, it's a way to get you into the door. Okay.
Yep.
Now, case study. You mentioned these annuities. You know of somebody. Or you talked to somebody just the other day.
Worked with a consumer this week, Monday of this week, in Colorado. Lady and her husband each purchased two annuities. And was asking me, they're fixed index annuities, and was asking me, I have all these options. I don't have an insurance agent anymore. He or she went away. All right? So I get the statement every year. I have to fend for myself. They're giving me 6 options, Terry, of which index and which method of indexing I want to use next year because it's my anniversary right now, and I have till January 18th to get this form back to them. I said, okay. So she went through them. I could do the S&P 500, just the flat S&P 500 for a year. I could do the monthly average of the S&P 500. On and on. I'm not going to get it all of them. There's all these different ones. So I said, well, just out of curiosity, what is the surrender period? How long have you owned this annuity? So the first thing she tells me is, this is a 12-year surrender annuity, and I bought it in 2009.
So
I know, she's stuck in this thing until 2021. All right, I take a deep breath and say, all right, might not be that bad. Let me see. What is the renewal cap rate on all these options? The best renewal cap rate they were offering her was 4. The regular S&P 500 was 3. Mm. Current rates for an S&P 500 index annuity today, brand new product, if you're out looking for a new one, are 5. They're offering her 3. So she's getting a 2% ding because they know they got her.
Because she can't get out of it without paying a surrender penalty.
Right. This is a real case. I said, well.
How old is she again?
It's not worth paying the surrender charge. She's 72, 73 years old. So she's going to be in this thing until she's 78, 5 more years.
At least 70, mm-hmm. actually, well, 20, yeah, it's 79 almost.
Over the life of this product, I determined she's going to end up getting about a 2.5% to a 3% rate of return.
Over the course of?
The whole 12, if she stays in it the whole 12 years.
Not a great rate of return.
No, I'm shooting for at least a 3.5 to 4 when I'm using an index annuity. It's a bucket 2 investment, mm-hmm. but 2.5 is not enough. I could go out there today and get you a 2.6% rate of return on a fixed annuity. Guaranteed, each and every year. Why take a chance on the index?
Okay, now you're talking about rates of return. By the way, 877-PLANNER. If you have questions on annuities or anything else, you can give us a call. We have lines open right now. Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes in for Professor Rick Plum today, 877-752-6637. We talk about annuities. Now, Professor Plum has mentioned this before. There are certain ones he doesn't like because interest rates are so rotten right now. How do things like the stock market and all this stuff, how do these affect these annuity products?
So we always have a discussion when we talk about fixed indexed annuities of what is the cap rate? What are they offering you? And that's the most you can earn that year, okay? Mm-hmm. If the S&P 500 is up, 50 points and your cap rate's 6, so the most you can earn that year is 6.
50%, right. Yeah.
So when you're looking at an index annuity, you want to find the most competitive cap rate you can because you have the best potential that way, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like shopping interest rates. If you're looking at a fixed annuity, what I do is I push a button and I have a service that shops all the top A-plus rated insurance companies in America. And I can tell you today, if I logged in, I could tell you who has the best 5-year fixed rate today, and tomorrow it may change, mm-hmm. okay? So you're shopping interest rates. Cap rates is the same thing, okay? But the question is, how does the insurance company decide or determine what cap rate to offer? And that is determined by what are they doing behind the scenes to give you that 5 or 6% per year when the market is up 10 or 20%. What are they doing? Well, they're simply buying an option with their money. They have billions of dollars. So they take your $100,000, they put it in their savings account, John.
Okay.
It's earning their average 4.5%, 5%. They've got billions and billions of dollars invested, and they're earning. So they slap your $100,000, they send you a statement, say you've got an annuity with us now with a 6% cap rate, and we're earning interest on it.
And I got $100,000 sitting there in my account.
Yep. And you have no interest until the end of the first year, and we'll let you know a year from now what it's going to
be. Okay, so I've got $100,000. What happens a year?
Now, what they do, well, right now, day one, though, is their investment management team determined how much money we took in this month. We sold hundreds, thousands of these annuities all over the United States. We took in $500 million, this month. Well, we got to go now and buy options on that $500 million in case the S&P's up, because I got to pay you, the client, if it's up. I've got risk as an insurance company. Well, the way I mitigate or eliminate my risk is I go out and buy options on the S&P 500, one-year options, all right? Now, what determines the price of an option every day in the open options market? Okay, without getting too far into this.
Yeah, be careful here.
Two things. The volatility of the stock market. The more volatile the market is, the less expensive the option is. The more unknown there is. So they price it down to entice you to buy it. Okay. Right. And the higher treasury rates are, the 10-year treasury, the higher the 10-year treasury is, the lower the cost of the option is going to be. So there's two factors. It's a formula. It's complicated. I've seen it. The insurance companies use it. But so you want, in good times years ago when treasury rates were 3%, 4%, 5%, the 10-year treasury, mm-hmm. which is only 2.2 right now approximately, right? Well, then we were getting 7% and 8% annual cap rates. Today, I think 5% is about the best one-year cap rate.
Because the insurance company cannot take risk with the money that you gave them. They've got to, even though they've got billions of dollars, they've got to make sure that that's safe because every year they got to credit your account or pay you.
Right. So they don't just give you an index and say, hey, if the S&P 500 earns up more than 6, we'll give it to you. They've got to go do something behind the scenes to make sure that doesn't cost them. Because if they didn't go buy anything and the market was up, they'd have to take 6% of their own money and give it to you. And I just explained to you, in current times, they're probably only earning 4.5% on their general account. They would have lost money on that transaction.
Right.
Well, believe me, they're not losing money. They're making at least 2% every single year that they hold your money.
on everybody's account.
They're making a spread of about two, just like a bank does. When you walk into the bank and they say, I've got a one-year CD at 1%, well, they're probably making two on your money, wherever they're investing it, right?
Yeah.
That's why there's no fees in a CD and there's no fees in an index annuity. They don't need to charge a fee.
Well, the fee is in the lower interest
rate. It's in the
rate
spread.
Of
the fee is the spread every year. That's what we refer to it as.
Yeah.
So they make a spread each and every year, and they'd love you to put your money with them and keep it there for 20 years, John.
So, okay, the greater the volatility in the index.
The VIX, the VIX, yep, that's what determines it. The higher the volatility, like these last few days, the less expensive the option is. So it's likely that the next time we have a rate announced at one of these companies, and we might get a little higher cap rate from one of our insurance carriers this month because the Treasury seems to be ticking up slowly and because the Fed's going to raise rates, and we have a lot of volatility in the market right now. So I'm hoping we get back to higher cap rates throughout 2016 and beyond.
How is it that, very quickly, because we got to take a break.
Sure.
How is it that the insurance company can guarantee, if the S&P is down 10%, say, in a year, which it's been before,
the option expires worthless. They just they paid 4% for an option, right?
Yeah. So but
they made 5 on their money, so they made 1% anyways, and they don't have to pay you anything.
So you get zero.
Right. You get zero. They made 1%, and they just let the option expire worthless if the market's down.
877-PLANNER. We're going to take some questions on this and anything else that you want to talk about. 877-752-6637. Hang on, Nick in Mesquite, Nevada. We're going to get to your question on Social Security, among other things. Also want to ask him about this question that we got, which is, how are these investing in the stock market but with no risk? Is that really true? 877-PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes. We're coming right back. If you like what you've heard so far and seen, there's another hour just ahead of Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Terry Keyes sitting in today for Professor Rick Plum. A lot of information to get to you and a lot of calls to get to as well. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. Back to the phone lines we go. Nick, thanks for hanging on in Mesquite, Nevada with a question. Hello, Nick.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
I received a letter from Social Security. We were writing to tell you that you should apply now for monthly Social Security retirement benefits, and then in bold, it says you can't earn special work credit only until age 70. People then goes on in regular highlight. People who continue to work after they reach full retirement age can choose to earn special work credit until age 70, unless instead of receiving monthly Social Security payments, this is so they can increase their payments in the future or continue to earning credits to qualify for future payments. What exactly does that mean and what should I do?
How old are you?
I'm 16. I'll be 70 in April.
All right. So this is the standard. It sounds like I've never seen this one, but this is the standard letter that you get that basically says there's no reason to wait beyond 70. There's absolutely no reason to wait because you've now maxed out your benefit.
Yeah. Now you are not taking benefits right now, Social Security right now, Nick?
That's correct.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So what they're telling you is that by waiting until age 70, you increase your benefit currently 8% per year.
But then,
beyond full retirement age, which is what you've been doing. And I think what they're telling you is once you hit age 70, those delayed retirement credits, what they're called, no longer apply. So if you don't take your Social Security beyond age 70, they don't grow any. So I think what they're telling you is that as you approach 70, you need to start thinking about applying for Social Security because any amount that you wait beyond age 70 doesn't help you.
And if you just went away, Nick, and forgot for 2 years and are 72 or 73 years old, they're not going to give you back 3 years worth. So I think it's nice. I didn't know they send this letter. I think it's nice that they send you this letter telling you, hey, turn it on. Start taking your money.
Well, so in other words, I should be taking it now then.
Well,
oh,
no,
sure.
You could, but not necessarily. See, every year that you wait.
Every month.
It's true. Every month that you wait, your benefit grows if you haven't taken Social Security. Every month that you wait, your benefit grows, and it will continue to grow every month until you hit age 70. After age 70, there is no more growth. So what they're saying is just be aware of this, that if you don't apply for Social Security at age 70.
Are you in good health, Nick?
Yes.
Yeah. So you were probably wise in good health. You were probably wise to wait after age 66. So you've just been getting an increase of what the monthly benefit or annual benefit is going to be of 8% every year you've waited. When do you turn 70?
April 2nd.
Yeah, so in February, this next month, I would apply to Social Security, mm-hmm. so you get your first check in April.
Okay.
Yep.
And what is there any strategy that, unfortunately, I haven't done much in the last 10 years, now I'm going to start making money again just as I reach age 70, and I guess that's just tough luck.
It is.
85% of my Social Security is going to be
taxable.
Yep. Added my income.
Well, depending on how much.
I'm assuming he's going to earn a fair amount is what he's saying,
because
he already knows
make.
The 85% number. Yeah, there is no strategy. There's no tricks. Just be thankful, Nick, that you're out age 70 making a good living. And so the good news is only 85% of your Social Security is taxable, not the whole thing. So.
Yeah, it's taxable at ordinary income rate.
Yeah.
But they're only going to take 85% of what you're getting. And subject that to taxation.
But don't delay. Go file it in February for an April payment. Don't delay.
Okay.
All right? Thanks for the call, Nick.
Thank you for your help.
Yep,
all right.
You're
thank
welcome,
you,
buddy.
Nick.
Good.
That's it. I didn't know that. That's good. I don't even know if Professor Plum knew they said
that. I'm going to ask him.
Although it makes sense.
I hope he's not watching, because I want to trick him and say, Rick, do you think they send you a letter at like 3 months before your 70th birthday and say, please take it? He's going to say, there's no way they do. That's
well, I should do
say.
It on the show. Just
all right. All right. Oh, you do it.
Just,
you do
just,
it.
Just
right.
zing him on
all
the
right.
show.
You do it.
All right. 877 Planner, Northport, New York. Let's is next. Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Good.
How are you?
Love your show. Listen to you. Very, very helpful.
Thank you.
Great.
My question is, I'm looking into a health savings account, and I'm just trying to get a clear picture on what happens to funds that are left over in the account after me and my wife pass on.
They pass like an IRA to your beneficiary. You'll name a beneficiary. So how old are you now, Joe?
Me? I'm 47.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you're young. So it'll be a health savings account. If you don't use it, it'll grow. And when you turn 65, and if you haven't used it, you could turn it into an IRA if you want. You can make a health savings account an IRA and take distributions from it, taxable. Or if you leave it alone, it would just pass to your children.
But when he sets it up, there's a beneficiary designation.
Well, it's
going to
be his wife now.
This.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
So I set it up for a beneficiary with my wife, and then after my wife passes, then we could have our kids as a beneficiary, and it's the same as receiving my regular IRAs?
Yep, absolutely. They would be called contingent beneficiaries now. So.
Okay, are there any catches to an HSA that I'd be concerned about when setting them up?
No, I'm a big fan. I don't want to talk politics here, but I really wish the government would have promoted a mandatory health savings account instead of Obamacare, because I think health savings accounts are great. Force savings, force people to set aside money, and it's all usable, non-taxable for health
Now, I would guess, Terry, it would depend, though, because obviously there's a large deductible, and so you
sure.
would assume that the cost of insurance would be quite a bit lower. So I guess really...
That's why I'm a fan of it, because you can get affordable health insurance and self-insure a little bit if you choose to do that.
But I think you do need to shop and make sure that it is affordable, because some insurance companies now are jacking up some of the rates on some of these health savings accounts.
Well, Joe, there's two ways to do a health savings account. One is with the actual insurance carrier itself. So you're going to Blue Cross, Blue Shield, yeah. whoever it is, and you're getting your monthly health insurance payment, and you're also contributing a number to the health savings account. Or you could just go on your own. If you already have health insurance somewhere, you can just open up an HSA on your own, just a savings account,
yeah.
a health savings account. Which are you doing?
I'm covered with insurance at work, and I'm going to open up one on the side.
Okay.
From the way I'm looking at it, it's almost the same as a flex benefit plan with the expenses without having to worry about the limitations and having them run out on you.
Yeah, using it at the end of the year.
Yeah, you got it. That's right, similar. But, I love health savings account. What you want to make, and I think what John's alluding to, and what you want to make sure you do, Joe, is at work where your health insurance is, raise your deductible to $1,000 or $15 or $2,000 a year, even $2,500, because you have this health savings account that's going to be accumulating cash in it.
Yeah, it could help you. Just
it would help lower your cost of your health insurance.
Yeah, yeah.
I already have that. It's a high deductible
amount. All right, so you're doing everything you're doing is right on. Keep doing it, Joe.
Yep, and don't worry about the beneficiary, as you said, Terry. Because
name your wife as the primary, and name your children as the contingent.
If you have any other questions, Joe, hold on. I got to take a break here for the top of the hour. If you need the Brain Trust, Terry Keyes or Professor Plummer, any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, their phone number off the air, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. There is another hour of this program just ahead, Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.